close our eyes and bow our heads, and then we'll start. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. I pray your good hand upon us this evening as we take some time to sing these old songs and to read and study through your word. And pray, Father, please, that you would work in us and on us and through us, Lord. Please be with those that aren't here. Pray for John and Catherine as they travel home from Amsterdam. For Pat and Steve, wherever they are. For Lynn and Dr. Shank and Frank, and for Colin as well. Please be with our sister churches, Lord, and especially with Ed Bissett as he prepares to go for more chemotherapy tomorrow. I know there are many needs, Father. I pray just now for Israel. I pray that you would bless them and protect them and provision them in whatever form it is that they need. And we pray and thank you, Lord, for knocking that out, carry on in Ireland on the head. And I pray that you would continue to do so, Lord. Please, Father, I pray, put your good hand upon our leaders, the Rishi Sunaks of the world. I pray you too, Lord, for the Joe Bidens of the world, and most especially for the Donald Trumps of the world, Lord, for the men that are standing for or between what's good and proper in this world, Lord, for those that love you, Lord, to be blessed, and for those that hate you, Lord, to be opposed at every turn, convicted of sin and judgment to come. I know there's still a few souls out there needing saved. I pray that you would convict them and save them. And Lord, don't be done with us. Please take and use us yet. Lovely and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, and that you'd be one of our number, and not just for us, but our sister churches, wherever they might be. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with number 31. We'll start with number 31 in the New Life Book. That is the King of Love, my Shepherd is. Okay, we'll just remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
Bibles. Scoot right back to the beginning of the book. Number one. That was it, John?
Yep.
Hymn number one. That is an old favourite. How great thou art. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, we'll be seated. But, join us in. Turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 20.
In the year that Tartan came up to Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. The Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah have walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks, and covered to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, the expectation of Egypt, their glory. And the hand of the Isle shall say in that day, Behold, such is our expectation. Will we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria? And how shall we escape? Amen.
Thank you, Washford.
Short and sweet and to the point, but there's a lesson in there even for us today. If we don't get right with the Lord, our nakedness and shame will be there for all the world to see for the endless ages of eternity, and God doesn't want that. Amen. One reminder, don't forget the wee prayer list. Make sure you get one. There are a few extras on it. The only thing really that's extra is Dr. Shang and Frank will be travelling to China between the 8th and the 24th of April. What about your mum's back and shoulder? Has it improved then?
No, she has to go for her first scan.
Alright, so
21st then.
Please do continue to pray for Carol's back and shoulder. For that man Shaz down in Brigade, with whom we had a good chat Saturday week ago. And Easter Sunday at the end of the month, we'll be having our all-day message, we'll be having the service, and then we'll be having lunch, and then a short service afterwards. No chocolate eggs unless somebody brings one, and you're welcome to do that if you fancy it, but other than that, nothing else. Private prayer requests. Okay, got all you earlier on, just wanted to check. Norman, John? Do I put a yes or a no? You have private prayer. The Lord knows what they are, and we will make sure and just call those out to the Lord. I think that's about that. Yep, that's about that. Let's sing another song, and then we will sing another song after that, all being well. Guide me, right, great Jehovah. Is that another pick? Number 13 in the wee black books. Guide thee, O thou great Jehovah. Some good old, I can only call them classics, but good old hymns. Guide thee, O thou great Jehovah. Four verses. That's.
Fire.
song, and then we'll open our Bibles. Close our eyes and bow our heads. Well, if you would, first, brother, would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, for Christ's sake, we pray at your house tonight, Lord, we open our work as a blessing, Lord. May our praises, may our the sermon be much profit to us, mentally, but more upon the spirit of the Lord. See us those mighty powerful that have to track through the doors, the doors in the area, Lord. See us those mighty powerful, Lord. And even the same side as well, from years past, Lord. See, convict souls by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And see us those mighty powerful as well, Lord. Pray for our sister churches and the saved churches throughout the world, Lord. And the subscribed churches, or the mid services, or the subscribed services, Lord. We want the number also, Lord. And add names to the book of life. See souls saved mighty powerfully. But most importantly, Lord. May the great thing be praised for us, Lord. Give Mark some unction from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And may see, give us a blessing, Lord, as we start a new week, Lord. We may be at the forefront of it. And we are also after prayer, Lord. Bring to church at one time, Lord, as well, Lord. Also, we have made business, Lord. Give the man the power, Lord. Prepare for the chemotherapy, Lord. Those many pain and discomfort, Lord. And we'll help the man the power, Lord. And help that procedure as well, Lord. Give Mark as he comes to love with the gospel, Lord. And may we see a blessing, Lord. May you seal us and move yourself, for the honor of God, Lord, for Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. Let's try the big hymn books this time around. Hymn number 114, was it? So we're going to be following Monica and Christine, is that? Do you know that? No, Will.
No, that was another song.
Was it? We're all going to give it a shot, we'll do an extra verse. I am sure we'll know it once we get a verse or two into the... You'd think that someone was offering to pull the toenails out the way of going to one of these. I'm sure we'll all survive and we'll have a chuckle about it at the end of the song and how it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. The Great Physician, we're going to play a verse to start with by way of an introduction, and then when it starts the second verse, we'll jump in.
Thank you.
notes were in Jeremiah chapter 27, just before the start of the service. Norman was giving me the hints and tips for the service there just out whenever he was sitting on the couch. So I look at Norman and he gives me the nod, then I'm sticking with the notes. And if he starts looking at me sternly, I go a different direction. Seriously though, just even as we were chatting and over the past few weeks and months, the more and more I see the situation of the Christian and the world in the book of Jeremiah. The Christian that keeps uttering the word of God and keeps warning people of sin and judgment to come, and the world that isn't in the least bit interested. And all of the things that God said to Jeremiah and all of the things that God reveals to us in the book of Jeremiah still apply to people today, still apply to Christians today, but more importantly, the dire judgment that came to the children of Israel is coming to this world today as well. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 27. I think it's a wee short chapter. At least I'll confirm that in a second or two. It's not a wee short chapter, but we're only reading the first 11 verses. Jeremiah chapter 27, and as far as the title goes, I came up with who exactly, or will the real Jesus please stand up? Will the real Messiah please stand up? Jeremiah chapter 27, the Word of God says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all his nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that will bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein." Amen. If there ever was a portion of God's word that spoke of today, it is verses 9 and 10. Those are our texts this evening, verses 9 and 10 from Jeremiah 27. And just want to bring a few thoughts on the subject of, will the real Messiah please stand up? Let's pray again, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for life and health and strength. Good to have Norman out. I pray that you would help him, whatever that is that's bugging him, to stop bugging him, and that he would get back on his feet. For all those, Lord, that are feeling the pinch in whatever form or fashion, I pray you please, Lord, would you touch us, and would you heal us? Would you sharpen our minds, and Lord, help us to keep them fixed upon you. Please bless this time in your presence. Please open our understanding of your word. I pray you, Father, please, that you would go ahead of us. Fight the battles that only you can fight, and Lord, prepare those battles that we need to fight, Lord. And most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your many helps and promises. And your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'd be there in the midst and we covet your presence this evening, Lord. We bless our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. Please deliver us this day our daily bread. And please save us. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. There has been, and Monica and I have been reading over or through the book of Jeremiah over the past month. It's normally about six chapters in the week. And we have come across many times the Lord saying to Jeremiah exactly the same thing. You know the old saying, people will believe a thing if you tell it to them loud and if you tell it to them long. They'll believe it. And so the Lord has been telling it loud and telling it long to the children of Israel that judgment is coming for your sin, and you need to accept that judgment. You need to accept, that chastening for your sin. The children of Israel have fallen really far, and this is the part that really spoke to me, not just about back then, that's nearly, three thousand years ago. But it's happening right now and today. And for all the things that everybody was up to, I know a lot of people, they do things, wicked people tend to do things at night because they believe that they can't be seen. The Word of God says that the darkest night is like the noonday for him. A little bit of a lack of UV radiation does not stop God from seeing stuff. God knows. He knows every word in our lips, every thought in our hearts, and every deed that we carry out with our hands, and every place that our feet carry us. God knows. It's no surprise to him. But God does us a great favor in presenting us or confronting us with the truth. And here he confronts Jeremiah. I am sure it's not a surprise with him. But this is what God says. He says, don't be listening to your prophets, or your diviners, or your dreamers, or your enchanters, or your sorcerers. Don't be listening to them. They're telling you lies. And I'm going to tell you now, friends, there is not one enchanter, diviner, necromancer, anywhere out there in the world, apart from God, that is doing God's work. Not one fortune teller, not one tea leaf reader, not one tarot card reader, not one new ager, not one, I don't know, people that have familiar spirits that peep and mutter into crystal balls. They are not doing the Lord's work. And it doesn't matter how you pretty it up, and it doesn't matter how many times you play Enchanted or Sabrina the Teenage Witch on whatever TV station, they're not doing God's work. They are encouraging people to believe a lie. And it is absolutely amazing how many times we can believe a lie in our little fantasy TV world, but whenever the rubber meets the road, we believe the same lie in real life. And God is actually showing us, saying even to the people of Jeremiah, that his own people, I know that you are doing things worthy of death. If you read back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, goodness, to go and visit a witch or a fortune teller, you might as well shoot yourself in the head, because if the priests ever got a hold of you, you'd be put to death. And God is saying to his people, this is how far you've fallen. Oh yes, you have your ministers, because you want to be buried like a Jew, or you want to be married like a Jew, or you want to have your kids dedicated like a Jew. But whenever it comes to living your life and making decisions, you're way off visiting fortune tellers. you're checking your horoscopes in the Daily Mirror or whatever newspapers it is, and that's them. And you know what God said? And I know about it. I know about it. You're not going to get very far listening to 10 or 15 different voices, with only one saying to stay on the straight and the narrow, and all the rest saying, look at the size of that broad road there. You can do anything and drive down that road. And that's true, you can do anything and go down the broad road. But it leads to destruction. As we are reading this, we can look back and we can see exactly what that brought about. 70 years of captivity in Babylon, but blessed by God. Does anyone recall to mind Daniel and his three brethren? Does anyone remember the three brethren's name? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And they served God. We're talking a year or two on down the line. We know they did, because God gave them the ability to understand dreams. He gave them the wisdom that was greater than the wise men of the Chaldeans. He gave them the power to withstand the heat of the fire. He gave them the power to survive the lion's den. Answering dreams, we did that already. And we know even from the book of Daniel, Daniel records a 7-year period where King Nebuchadnezzar himself was brought low until he admitted that there is a God in heaven. And personally, I believe Nebuchadnezzar was saved. Their faithfulness to God never wavered. And we all think, oh great Daniel, fireproof, lionproof, words of wisdom tripping off their tongues. Got so great that they were raised to second in command, pretty much. He was the greatest of the rulers, I think, in Darius the Mede's day. Made great promises about the God of Israel. Anyone that says anything about the God of Israel can't recall if it was Nebuchadnezzar or Darius the Mede that said, their houses will be made a dunghill. Because look how great the God is of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We love to think about that. But here's one thing very few people ever mention, and it only struck me a couple of years back, that Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were put in charge of the prince of the eunuchs. A man that was the prince of the eunuchs. And that means those four men were taken. And it's almost as soon as they were taken, they were castrated. They would never have families. They would never have any ambition above their king. They were taken. That's what these men were taken. This is what was taken from them because of people like the children of Israel. Good people felt the effects of bad people's actions. And goodness, look where we are today. We're afraid for our children because of wicked people wanting to groom them in it, sponsored by the government, doing things to children that would have had mums and dads having themselves a good old-fashioned hanging 10 or 15 years ago. And yet the government is now the biggest sexual predator in the country. Killing our children in droves. Trying to introduce euthanasia where if you're having a bad day, they'll do the same for you. Everything they can to make life difficult for Christians, even to the introduction of a two-tier justice system. We were just talking about the wee Palestinian or pro-Hamas supporter that vandalised the Lord Balfour painting in Cambridge or Oxford. And nobody did a thing. Oh, there were plenty of people to take pictures. Why did nobody tackle her to the ground? Why did nobody crack her skull and show that things aren't done that way in England? Bad things happened to these four men and to many others of the children of Israel when Nebuchadnezzar took them. And yet they still kept their eyes on the Lord, and through them and their ministry and the things that they did and those that came after, Israel, Jerusalem was restored. It wasn't through trusting in the dreamers or the enchanters. It was through trusting in God. As we read on, if you read on a chapter or two, God speaks again through Jeremiah. And he says, in the face of all of these other prophets who keep telling lies, oh, Israel will be restored in 2 years. They'll bring all the gold and all the vessels back from Nebuchadnezzar's treasury in 2 years. And it ended up Jeremiah saying, this minister was talking so much nonsense, Jeremiah said, you'll be dead before the year's out. And that's exactly what happened. It's going to cost us 70 years for rebelling against the Lord. So the Lord showed the whole country. And everyone that they put their faith in, all of these liars, and bear in mind, remember the words that the Lord spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious men. He said, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and his works you do. Does not sound like someone that's going to have your back whenever you need it most. And God said, these liars and these murderers, these are the people that you are listening to. These are the very people, God said, I told you to destroy. But you didn't, because you thought better. And now look where we are. I have had to take and appoint Nebuchadnezzar. I've even told Nebuchadnezzar, he's working for me, to do what he's going to do, which is to take you all into captivity, treat you like slaves for 70 years until you humble yourselves and learn your lesson. We know that's exactly what happened. And it didn't matter who kicked up, it happened. All those who kicked up and all those who stuck their lips out and pouted and stood with their clenched fists and their grinding teeth, they literally had God coming after them with disease and famine and war. But friends, this is being played out today too. All we've got to do is look around the world, especially the Western world. And we see souls everywhere rejecting Christ, believing the lies that governments and false religions tell them. And their lives are quite literal train wrecks. And eventually those that never get saved, of course, end up in hell in the lake of fire. And that was never God's intention. God said in the Old Testament, he says, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So turn yourselves and live ye. The thing that really, as I've already mentioned, that caught my attention was the number of sources that the Lord challenges the children of Israel put their faith in so that they'll deliver the goods. Back in the old days, before this all kicked off, the Lord had done so much for the children of Israel. We can look back and see, not just up until this point in the life of Jeremiah, but way beyond, we can see all the things that God has done. But for by that, think of these people. He defeated the gods of Egypt, and he literally robbed the country blind, destroyed their army, helped them cross one sea, kept them fed and watered and clothed in the wilderness for 40 years, helped them cross another sea twice, gave them the victory over every place that he set them against, unless people disobeyed. And time again, 40 years of days and nights of being in front of the children of Israel with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, and they still rebelled against it. They still rebelled. And it just goes to show you that if God himself was to step right into this church and people knew it was going to happen, you'd get a few people. But the vast majority of people still wouldn't come. Children of Israel knew all of these things, and they had happened in the past 300, 400, 500 years. They were still recent history as far as they were concerned. This God that had defeated the peoples of the land that they were in and the gods that they worshipped. Does anyone remember there was one battle, and I can't recall exactly where it is. I think it was the time they were taking the land. And there was a big shindig, and the children of Israel were against, well, say the Ammonites. And the children of Israel beat them in the valley. And it was heard that the people said, oh, the only reason the children of Israel beat us in the valley is because their God is a God of the valleys. And so the next shindig they had was up a mountain. And God said, I'll sort them out. And he beat them in the mountains too. He is a God of the valleys, but he is a God of the mountains as well, of the water and the land and the air. We might look back at them and think they're nothing but ignorant savages. They might do. And they don't even have all of the benefits of, for by even our technology and every gadget and thing that we have in the world today, we've got an extra 2,500, maybe 3,000 years of history. And we're still trusting in pagan gods. And we're still trusting in enchantment. And we're still trusting in sorcerers. And people that peep and mutter. And people that have familiar spirits. And people that can get in touch with ascended masters. We're still trusting in, did I mention our feelings? Our truth? I hate that term. We're still trusting in governments and horoscopes. We're still trusting in, goodness, the Mormons come over. We're still trusting in Mormons, nothing but old paganism. They're glad the devil did what he did and caused the bother that he caused. And they've crept in everywhere. We're still trusting in feeling good as long as my wife feels particularly good at this moment in time because she made a post that got nearly 200 clicks on it. And I got a post that got, I made a post that only got 3 or 4. And I am certain mine was more doctrinally sound. It was a different audience, yes indeed. But people are trusting in the number of clicks for their justification. Oh, I must be right, I got 200 clicks. You only got 6, so you must be wrong. She hasn't played that card yet. And I'm hoping she doesn't. But this is where we are. We have not changed one jot. And you can look around at all of the things that these religions say. You can look at, goodness, even the Baptist Union, I think it is, over in America, they're for abortion and gay marriage. I am sure if Trudeau got his dreams came true and they introduced euthanasia in America, he would thought he would have died and gone to heaven. But this church would probably, not this church, Bethel Baptist Church, but some of these Baptist Union, or Southern Baptists, they would probably support that. They are that far gone. I want to tell you something. We tend to think that the church in Northern Ireland and maybe in the UK is fairly conservative. But they're all, well, not all, but a lot of them are trusting in their feelings. Oh, what I think has greater preeminence than the very word of God, and oh, how wrong those deluded souls are going to be proved someday. Do you know, as people say, my truth, they are quite literally practicing Satanists. Did you know that? And when you hear that in churches, that greatly disappoints me and horrifies to hear people following their feelings, following their heart. I feel like slapping the stupid out of them. I honestly do. How can you sit in church with the very word of God in front of you and tell me that you're following your feelings? The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Why would you put your faith in that? So that if you're having a bad day, it's okay to kill everybody that's giving you a hard time. And when you're having a good day, everybody gets cake and ice cream and lemonade. When you're having a bad day, you're on your way to hell. When you're having a good day, you're on your way to heaven. What a roller coaster of a Christian life that would be. There's not one of these religions, there's not one of these organizations can deliver on the promise of eternal life. I know there's anyone ever heard of cryogenic freezing? Where they'll take, at the point of your death, and they'll turn you into an ice cube. Promise of eternal life. They're dead. Those people are dead. They are not coming back. And it doesn't matter how many science fiction shows they put on TV. People that are turned into ice cubes are not coming back. They're trusting in that. They're trusting in the keep fit. They're trusting in their feelings. They're trusting in their wealth. They're trusting in their belongings. They're trusting in a handy side shooter. A moat with alligators and machine gun posts. They're trusting in a benevolent and quotes government. That our nanny state. Goodness, if only it was a nanny state, at least nannies looked after their children. These people are not working in our best interest. But sadly, so many people are ignorant of this because they don't know what is in our best interest. We spoke a little bit about it this morning. A noble cause, that's what we need. Every one of us needs a noble cause. And I'm just thankful that the cause of seeking and saving that which is lost is such a noble and such a large cause that everybody can have a go. Have these things brought anybody peace? They have not indeed. Most of the churches supported the government shutdown of churches and the country and the fear-mongering of a planned epidemic. The Bible says God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but A, of adoption, and B, of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have they brought us an assurance of eternity? No, they haven't. They have brought us a forgetfulness of eternity and a complete occupation with right now. Have they worked together for good in our lives? Of course they haven't. They'll kill their children, they'll kill the depressed, they'll kill the physically handicapped, and they'll kill the elderly. Have they guided us and directed us truthfully? No, they haven't. They lie to us continually. They sexualize our children and they prepare them to be utterly ruined by the transgender and the LGBT activists. Have they shown us the benefits of honest labour? They certainly have not. Imagine teaching the entire population of the world to sit in their rear end for 2 years. Don't be going outside and getting some fresh air. You're only allowed an hour a day. And then having the police go round and enforce that. What was it your mummy and your daddy used to say? Young fellow, would you go out there and kick a football? And now the only time a Wayne kicks a football is if it's on FIFA 2020. Is it 2023 or 2024? And if it's connected to a controller. Do they listen to us in times of adversity or difficulty? They don't care. These souls, whether it be in false religion or whether it be in government or organization, they don't care. They party while the rest of us mourn and grieve. They laugh whenever we weep. They are not interested one little bit in our well-being, in our eternities, or in the preaching of the cross. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Over the past few years, with all of this going on, I have seen, and I am sure you have too, that there's only one man that ever cared for us. In the words of the song, no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Maybe a loving mother or a doting grandparent, a loving father, they cared for us. But even the love of a mother or a father or a grandfather is just a pale shadow of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his creation. The love that constrained him to live on this sin-cursed earth for 30 odd years, preaching the cross, demonstrating through the delivering of miracles, many of which mirrored those that took place in the Old Testament, just to show that he is still God. All of these other gods, these other things that people pour their hearts and souls and minds and fortunes and all of their time into will not save your soul. And by extension, your life. In fact, they are antichrists, everyone. And they set themselves up in place of God, pretending or promising to deliver the things that only God can. Asking for your faith, asking for your contributions, your worship and your praise. They have become antichrists. They deliver nothing. And sadly, too many people realize that far too late. There is only one remedy. The Lord, in all of the 600 plus laws that are in the, or commandments that are in the Old Testament, there's not one that saves you. Every single one, bar one, condemns you, marks you as a guilty sinner. The only one that will give you a long life is honoring your mother and father, so that that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the only one with a promise for you and I. Every other one marks us as a guilty sinner. They all show us, no matter who we are, we need a Savior. If we were to scoot away forward to the book of Revelation, we would read not about the taking over of the world by a despotic Nebuchadnezzar, charged by and powered by God 2,500 years ago. We would read of a judgmental God visiting 21 judgments upon a Christ-rejecting world for exactly the same reason. Because we have not given the world its Sabbaths, because we have not accepted Christ as our Savior, because we have ruined the world, even under the guise of so-called global, what do they call it these days? Global protection, or you know what I'm talking about. Saving the world along with the world. There's only one way. It was the same way back then. It's when you set your heart in the direction of God and obey what he said. God said back in the day, and we might come across it, I think there's another few chapters for me to go before I finish in Jeremiah. God said back in the day, do what I say. Take it on the chin. You might not have done anything wrong, but you're in with the folks and it's coming your way. You're going to have to sit for 70 years under Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Today, he's saying, there is a worldwide calamity coming, 21 of them, and the only way to avoid them is not to be in the ISS, and it's not to be in Elon Musk's Mars colony, it's not to be in a bunker under the ground, it's to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. And that'll happen to you, and you will be saved whenever you repent of your sins and tell God you are sorry for listening to and worshipping and praising all of these false gods and carrying out all of their whims and all of their demands. Whenever you say, Lord, I am sorry for doing that, would you please forgive me and save my soul? And then someday, before all of these judgments fall, God will come back for us and take us all to heaven. I've been looking forward to it. Since the first time the dentist said, I'm going to have to take one of your wisdom teeth out. I remember driving to the traffic lights down there at Aiken's dentist and saying, Lord, I wish the rapture would come before I have to sit in that chair and pull my wisdom teeth out. I am not joking. I was prepared for the rapture to come and 21 judgments to fall rather than me get a wisdom tooth out. I still feel the same way. I didn't think quite that bad. It's the only way. There is a redemption. There is a salvation. It's not going to be found in anything the world offers. It's going to be found in the book of the God that never changes, yesterday, today, and forever. The God that loved his people today the same way as he did 2,000 years ago. And the God that offered and delivered on his salvation to all those that believed on him 2,500 years ago. And he will deliver it today. Even right here and now. That's the real Messiah. The real Savior. The real God. And I urge you most strongly, believe. listen to him, to seek him out, even if it's only for 10 minutes in a day. See if that 10 minutes invested in Christ doesn't give even greater benefits than the Biden Investment Fund. Anyone ever heard of the Biden Investment Fund? I'll tell you what it's all about. Over the years, Joe Biden and all his family have been taking under the table payments of millions of dollars. And then whenever Joe Biden became president, he's been sent in those same countries billions of dollars. Not millions, but billions. God offers even greater returns than that. And give him a little bit of your time and he will give you eternal things. And he will show you that even that little bit of time invested in him is worth more than gold and silver. You will find the rest of your day has brighter colors, better tastes, and sounds sweeter. And you put your faith in that. Not just for the endless ages of eternity, but for right now. That's the real God of life. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. Amen. We have one song to sing. So if anybody has one that they would like to close the service with, Norman or it's Norman or me, I think. You got one?
No.
Up to me then. Number 55 it is in the big book. Number 55 in the big book, one of my favourites, when the roll is called up yonder. If you're fit, stand, if you're not sit, if you can make a joyful noise. Aside from the week, spent in your presence and around your word, the good old songs, Lord, and for the good pets. I pray, Lord, please, that you wouldn't be done with us, that this would just be a loading up as we head out into the world, and that we would take not just the words that we've heard at this, but the words that we've read, and the words that we've sung, and the words that we've heard, Lord, and we would take and use them to, well, build us and make us and strengthen us and comfort us, Lord. We really do need you. Pray for Israel, pray for America, for Britain, Lord, for Ireland, for all the countries of the world, Lord, and the leaders of them, that you would greatly, greatly work in their lives, Lord, opposing those that hate you and blessing those that love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, for your word, for the time we've had in your presence. And we leave our prayer requests and thanks at your feet, Lord. And we thank you for loving us and saving us. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your word. Amen. Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit, or bump elbows.